Wellness trends. Put salt in your water. There's a specific order that you should be eating food. And now it's time to go back into the sugar detox. What else have you heard online? I have heard way too many. Very convincing, very stressful, but there are some things that we have to talk about. My name is Jo Sebastian, and I'm a registered nutritionist and dietitian, and you're listening to The Donut Box, where we unbox stories and talk about things we usually don't talk about. And today, we're debunking wellness trends. So, let's unbox this story. It's Jo.
And it's Elijah.
And you're listening to The Donut Box. I'm going to be very, very excited for this episode. I'm not going to be. I am very, very excited for this.
You're very, very episode. Words. Wow. I can tell you're very, very mushing. Episode for this excited.
This weather has been so freaking hot. It has been melting my brain, my body, my soul.
And I heard
soul.
It's going to get harder.
Yeah, but I won't be here for the heat anymore, so I'm like, let's get out of here. I'm so...
Bye!
It's so hot. It's like, I don't even know anymore. And I feel so lazy most of the time to do anything, but I know it's not really lazy. It's like, you know, my body is just not capable right now of doing the things that it used to do because of the heat. Like, it's a really big factor, you know, so we have to remember that. It's not necessarily being lazy. It's just a very... something going on, you know. Okay, but anyways, let's talk about a very fun and important topic, because as you know, if you are online, you are scrolling on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or wherever the heck you are usually on, every few scrolls will probably land you towards somebody telling you to do something for your health. And there's just too many going on. Some of them we have to stop when as much as possible. So we're going to talk about these wellness trends and why we should or shouldn't do them. Maybe there's one here that we'll say we should do, but I don't know. We'll see. Okay.
Well, people might think that these things never happened before the time of the internet, but they do. But nowadays, why it's a bit more imperative to talk about it is because everybody has the access to these information and wellness trends that people are pushing out there, that a lot can actually be harmful to your health.
Yes, a lot of them can be very, very dangerous. So let's go into some of the biggest ones that I've been seeing recently. A lot of this have already happened in the past, but they're just like coming back again. It's like,
resurfacing.
Like they said, trends come and go, and some of them have already gone. Yeah, I guess. Which is weird to think that, like, your health is a trend, right? And that's what we always say. Your health is not a trend. It shouldn't be a trendy thing that just, like, comes and goes. It should be something you're working on lifelong.
It's a lifestyle.
But anyways, your life. let's talk about this one. All right. So, here we go. Number one is salt in water. What do we mean by that? So I'll explain it a little bit, Elijah, if you haven't seen the videos, because you aren't very updated with a lot of social media.
Okay, most of my social media, in my defense, is tennis. Okay, it's tennis and car crashes.
Okay, very interesting combo. I mean, my social media is not... I'm not actively looking for trends, but some people will send me some of these, or I will see it in passing. So it is very, very frequent to come up to my FYP. But okay, so this salt and water trend is... people are saying that if you wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. Just kidding.
Oh my God, I knew you were going to say that. I was singing it in my head.
Okay. So when you wake up, if you drink a glass of water, you should put a pinch of salt. Although everybody is different in what they are doing. Like, some people are just doing a pinch of salt. Some people are doing like a whole tablespoon of salt, or like teaspoon of salt. I mean, like a teaspoon of salt into their water. So the idea here is when you drink water, you are getting dehydrated, because if you just drink water on its own, then what happens is you are flushing out your electrolytes. So that's the concept around this. So how do you retain your water and make sure you are hydrated? You add salt. That is the idea. And
I see the thought logic here
is if you do this, it makes some sense. But and some of the things that the claims basically of this trend is, number one, you will have no more migraines, you will be energetic, you will have no brain fog, and all of these things. It will detox your body, so and so, everything they say, you know it. I also want to add to that, specifically they say it has to be Himalayan salt or Celtic salt to be better.
And does it, like... And it can't be iodized, stuff like that. It has to be those type of salts?
Yeah, like they say that it should be those salts. Like, it's better if those were those salts because they have more minerals and so on. Okay, so let's go in first to the first part of the claim, which is that water dehydrates you, right? And their idea of this is technically right in the sense that when you drink a lot of water and you're not eating like enough and you don't have electrolytes, then, you know, you tend to cause a fluid imbalance, an electrolyte imbalance, which doesn't necessarily dehydrate you, but isn't the ideal situation either.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you have less sodium in your body. So you lean towards what you call a hyponatremic state. But in that, that only happens if you're drinking so much water, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're not eating enough salt. A lot of water.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ugh. So to come into this one as well, like you mentioned, if you're drinking a lot of water, that can cause that imbalance. And if you're not eating a variety of food, because a lot of the food that we consume has potassium, magnesium, and sodium, which are the electrolytes that help balance your body. Like, we literally get that from food. So when you are not consuming enough food and not enough variety, then there is a possibility that you might be low in electrolytes, but it's not going to be instantly solved by consumption of or by adding salt to your water. And I think, just to add real quick, and I think it's so weird that we've been constantly demonizing salt and sodium and being like, oh, processed foods are bad and like all of these. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, I'm not like in the defense of these foods, but like more of people are constantly demonizing salty food, Filipino food, for being high in sodium. And then we're going to go ahead and add salt into our water. Like, what is that, you know?
Yeah. And the fact that there isn't even a set, like, there isn't a regulated or like an exact amount of salt you would be putting, like you said earlier, some people put a pinch, some people put a teaspoon, some people a tablespoon. Dude, the difference in each of those measuring systems is so much. A pinch of salt in the grand scheme of things, it's not gonna do much. Just drink your water. There's no point of putting a pinch of salt in your water, right? If you're putting a tablespoon of salt in your water,
that's the ocean.
That's a lot of salt.
That is the ocean.
And like me and Joe were saying earlier, if you're eating a pretty balanced diet with sodium in it,
and you're eating enough in general,
you putting a tablespoon of salt in your water might actually make your health worse because you're putting in more salt than you need.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's kind of the dangers to this, is because most of the people who did start this trend do say just put a little bit of salt. But then I see people like putting literally half a teaspoon because they're like, oh, just a little bit of salt. And it's like half a teaspoon. Now, requirements of sodium intake are below 500 milligrams per day for a healthy individual. And for those who have hypertension, kidney concerns, and so on, it's usually around 2,500 milligrams maximum of sodium per day, right? So What is 2,300 milligrams of sodium? 1 teaspoon of salt. So if you're already like, let's say half of that into your water, that's it. That's your sodium intake for the day. You're done. You're good. Like, half of it is there.
No, imagine for the people that are putting it a whole tablespoon. That's like, that's like 3 days worth of sodium just right there.
I think that was like misinterpreted type of like levels for that one. Okay.
That's crazy. Just even a teaspoon, right?
I mean, so when we come to like electrolytes and electrolyte balance, this is very important. Yes, it will definitely help with your clarity, with energy levels and so on. But again, we can get our electrolytes from food or from a balanced diet, and of course making sure you space out your intake. Mm-hmm. So one of the big things here as well is, can water and salt actually be helpful for some people? Yes, if you have specific health concerns that are causing you struggles with your electrolyte imbalances. But basically, this is your saline drip in the hospital where they are trying to hydrate you. Right, if there are certain things that are going to dehydrate you, like you're going to go into surgery or you're going to, you're sick, and then that's when they will put a saline drip. But that's kind of, I think, where the logic comes from. It's like, instead of a saline drip, put salt in your water. And like, it is just unnecessary, basically. And if you are not properly regulating the amount of salt that you put in your water, it can actually increase health concerns or health risks rather than help it.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't even know that was a trend. That's a crazy trend.
I mean, it's a funny trend to me. Also, Himalayan versus Celtic salt. So people are saying that Himalayan Celtic salt is the best because it has the most, minerals and so on.
Mm-hmm. When you eat it, you start having you start getting a Celtic accent.
Sure. No, but this is very, very minor difference. It's like, it's not so major. And looking at that, it doesn't really play a bigger role whether it's Himalayan salt or not. It's more of just like a fancy way to sell you salt. Like, salt is still going to be salt, and you are more likely going to get your vitamins and minerals from other food sources than you will from salt anyway.
In my opinion, Himalayan salt and Celtic salt in their pure form, when they get sold, don't even have iodine. So I'm more of a fan of iodized salt because it has iodine, which helps in you not getting goiter.
A common, actually, deficiency in the Philippines. That's actually why the iodization law. That's why they started to require iodized salt, is because iodine deficiency is quite common in the Philippines. So that's one of those things.
Kind of funny. I've had a few goiter patients in just even the few months in surgery. I had like four, I think.
Yeah. Vitamin A, iodine, and iron, common deficiencies, guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next one. This is also a very popular, or getting more popular, wellness trend. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the resurgence ones, but sugar detox.
Hey, that's what you did before that we talked about.
I didn't call it the sugar detox. I called it like a sugar, no sugar challenge. But whatever. It's the same thing. It is the same thing. Oh no, it's actually not the same thing, because so online, the sugar detox is being more popular. It's becoming popular again. Day one of your sugar detox, and so people are posting that on TikTok and Instagram, and like, my journey of my sugar detox. So it's different, because when I did my no sugar challenge, I was focused on just removing added sugar. But the sugar detox also removes all sources of sugar,
which is your carbs. Oh, God. Basically. So even fruits?
Yes. Bread whatever. Basically, it is a low-carb diet. Why even live?
What's the point of living if you're going to put yourself through the hat?
Yeah, and the sugar detox claims that everybody, that the online has been saying, is weight loss, clearer skin, better energy, you know, the usual things that we're told you're going to have.
Weight loss, because you're cutting out a whole freaking food group, multiple food groups. No wonder you're going to lose weight.
Also, you're probably losing water weight, because if you cut out your carbs, you're also going to... 1 gram glycogen of carb stores. Equals 3 to 4 grams of water, usually in storage. Yeah. So when you get rid of your carbohydrate sources, you will probably lose weight fast, but that's the reason and not necessarily fat loss.
Yeah. You know what's crazy about these claims is that people just take it for face value. That, it made me get clear skin. Because I took out this, how do you even prove that? Like, there's no studies that show it, you know, and when you ask them, it says, because I did it for like 2 months, but how do you know that's what the cause was? It's just like,
that's true.
You can't just take it at face value that your skin got clear. What if you're using really nice skincare products? Yeah.
It's anecdotal, basically, right? That's a thing that a lot of of these wellness trends essentially are. They're very anecdotal evidence. And we say that it's like one person got these results, but we can't automatically assume it's going to happen for everyone. Mm-hmm. And that is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to be so mindful and so, diligent when we look online, right? So those are kind of the things that we try to tap into. So the sugar detox is trending again. And apart from that, okay, let's say, no, but I'm not trying to lose weight. I just want to be healthier and sugar is bad. Here's a reminder that sugar is not inherently bad. We do have two types of carbs, your complex and your simple ones, or mm-hmm. basically two types of sugar, your added sugar, which is from sugars like white sugar. I forgot the other types of maple sugar. Even honey is technically an added sugar. Yes, muscovado, brown sugar, all of those things. And then you have your natural sugars, which is from your carb sources. Carbs.
Fructose.
Oh, sorry, I just said carbs. Bread, pasta, rice, all of those other food items, right? So the difference would be is that you still get a lot of nutrients specifically from your natural sources of sugar. It is still a energy source. Yes, we want to be more mindful of our added sugar intake, but this doesn't mean you have to completely remove them. Mm-hmm. And if you are trying to build a habit, it would be so much better if we focused on what we had to add into our life rather than completely removing all of these food items, you know?
And if you guys remember from our deep fried carbohydrates, your body's main source of energy is carbohydrates. So if you take preferred, out a whole efficient energy source, if you take out a whole macronutrient source from your diet, you're basically telling your body to, like, not be efficient.
Yes. And that's why brain fog tends to happen. And so many other things. I actually recently posted a video because so many people were asking me in my comments what my thoughts are of this trend. And there are people who are saying, like, I can't believe this is coming back. Like, this was, like, in the 2015 when I was going through this. I can't believe it's coming back. And I'm like, same. And people are saying how their experience was. They were just, like, tired. They were sad. And you don't have to sacrifice your health in order or your mental health in order for you to be healthy. That's a very important reminder. Mm-hmm. And again, it can also come from a privileged point to say you can cut out all sugar, especially if you're now going to be increasing your, like, what food are you now going to be eating? Is it going to be meat? Well, that's quite expensive, right? And also, you know, your easy energy sources are going to be those biscuits and so on. That it's mostly accessible to everybody. So we kind of look at it in that aspect. And everyone can do a sugar detox for different reasons. Maybe it's looking for discipline, or maybe it's trying to manage blood sugar and so on. But again, you don't have to completely cut out these foods in order for you to be healthy. But it is important for us to understand and manage our food intake. And there are many other ways to do that.
I agree. I mean, it just boggles my mind because even fruits are some of the most delicious things that exists in this world. Strawberries, apples, blueberries. Like, just thinking about it makes my mouth water because, like, they're so delicious. Yeah. And and fruits are so healthy. Like, a lot of them have antioxidants. They provide you with vitamins and minerals. And just the pleasure of eating these fruits can actually help your well-being in general.
Actually, to add to that, I think the most annoying, in a sense, or not necessarily annoying, I don't know, I guess the weirdest part of a lot of trends is they tell you to cut out all of these foods and then tell you to take all of these supplements. It's like, okay, don't eat carbs, but take these multivitamins. And it's like, sis, if you were eating enough food, you wouldn't need these multivitamins.
Yeah.
Of course, there are a lot of gaps in our nutrition because of food quality changes and all of these things, but we still try to get it from food first as much as possible. And I think that's, it's just a wrong message of, like, it's totally fine to cut out all of these foods because these foods are bad, but you should be consuming these supplements because it's going to help you. And it's like, if we focused on food first, we would save a lot more money as well, rather than buying all of these supplements.
Yeah, it kind of irks me because there's so many influencers out there. I follow this TikTok, TikTok doctor named Dr. Ids, and he basically debunks these type of influencers who demonize different types of foods or ingredients. And it's funny that a lot of them are just trying to sell you for a quick buck. Like they exactly. And it's really funny is a lot of them are very hypocritical. They'll tell you, don't eat this ingredient, don't eat protein, blah 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 blah, and then like let's say 2 months later they'll be sponsored or they'll be sponsoring a product that has those exact same ingredients that they were demonizing 2 months earlier. It's so funny and infuriating at the same time.
A lot of fear mongering mostly comes from selling products, and that's really the most stressful part. And also the demonization of sugar is so wild. It's like they keep on saying sugar is the root cause of all evil, from blood sugar spikes to causing your body to store fat. I mean, again, we're not saying you have to only eat sugar, but we also have to recognize that sugar is literally the most efficient and primary source of energy for your body. It's just that there are different types of sugar, and we do want to take a look at what added sugars may be replacing in our diet, right? Most of the time, we are actually lacking fiber. We're actually lacking protein. We're lacking sleep. We're lacking unsaturated fats. And these are causing all of the things that are happening, not necessarily a specific food item on its own, but the different aspects of our life that we have to look at too. So if you're not going to change other habits and you're just going to remove things, that's not going to solve the problems that we might be having.
You gotta look at it from more perspectives than just one, especially if you're trying to better your health, right? If you're just looking at one aspect, sugar, for example, you're not realizing maybe you're not getting enough sleep, maybe you're anxious at your job, maybe you know you have these different factors that you just completely disregarded, and then you just pinpointed that the root of all your problems in terms of your health is sugar, then that's a big problem that you got to look at from, you know, just got to take a step back and think about it again.
Yes, like it's a lot of things that are happening in our life are not always just like one thing and that's it. There's usually a multitude of things that impact it. Okay, let's do one last. Since we've dived in pretty much on the first two, let's do one more. Okay, so this one is kind of gaining more popularity. And do you know the glucose goddess?
What the heck are you talking about? Is that...
you don't know her.
The glucose goddess. Is that Hera? The wife of Zeus?
No. So the glucose goddess created a 4-week, 4-step program. It's basically a book. She calls it The Glucose Revolution, and talks about like balancing your blood sugars, managing your cravings, and all of these different things. So I think there are a lot of great points that she mentions. It's just that the messaging is kind of off in a sense, because she talks about how insulin is like your fat storer, and then the reason why we're having all these cravings is because of our blood glucose and all of these things. That's why she's called the glucose goddess. But there, it's kind of like very one size fits all recommendations, which a lot of her recommendations are very helpful. I would say like they are very helpful. Like one of them would be to dress carbohydrates, try to make sure you're consuming protein and fiber with your carbs. Yes, love that. Or like keeping the sweetest part of your meal at the end of the meal just so that you have better blood sugar balance. Like these are very quite helpful. It's just that there is a little bit of an overemphasis on insulin spikes being like a demon for everything. And like you're never allowed to spike your blood sugar levels, basically, is the idea here, right? But the biggest message that we see online is that she recommends a specific meal order for your consumption of food, where ideally you will eat your veggies first, then your protein, and then your carbs for the best blood sugar response. Okay. And this does have some truth to it. Of course, when you eat your carbs, you do want to have your protein, you do want to have your veggies. But I think we do have this too big of an emphasis on how carbs are just like blood sugar spikes are so bad in like in general, right? And tell us from the doctor perspective.
Well, they're normal. Whether you're diabetic, whether you're a normal person, glucose spikes will happen because you eat. And your body needs to regulate. You need these glucose spikes because for normal people, that's when your body will respond and be like, okay, I got to produce insulin in order to reduce my blood sugar level. As for, let's say for diabetics, it's a way for them to see, okay, I might have eaten too much at this point, right? So they even have to look at their glucose spikes and glucose troughs where, oh, I'm not eating, like especially for type 1 diabetics who aren't eating enough glucose, right? And they're going into a hypoglycemic state. They have to use that information in order to balance out what they're feeling, right? That's why sometimes you see diabetics need candy right away because they're going into this hypoglycemic state, right? And or if I don't want to go too deep into it, but you have diabetics who have to use short-acting, long-acting right before they eat, insulin that they take for the whole day, and they have different types of insulin that they have to use throughout the day because one, the long acting will help their overall glucose levels throughout the days. And then they have their shorter acting ones where they have to use it before or after they eat in order to manage those glucose spikes that we talk about because they are normal, right? But for diabetics, they don't have they're resistant to it or they don't have
insulin. It's difficult to bring it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like insulin will, so when we say insulin spike, it sounds bad, right? Oh, we got a spike in insulin. But this is essentially when your body recognizes that it has to utilize insulin for a purpose. And people think insulin is bad because insulin is a quote unquote fat storer. But insulin will only store fat if there is an excess of calories in your diet that it will have fat to store. Right, it's not just going to instantly spike and start storing all of the food that you eat into fat just because it's up. And this is why a lot of low carbohydrate diets are trendy or seem convincing because of this concept that they say like, oh, if your blood sugar spikes, this is going to cause your body to store fat because insulin is a fat storer. That's the idea, right? But again, insulin will increase and it will spike when it sees food in the body. And actually, something that is not well known, protein also causes your insulin to go up, not just carbs, also protein. And that's something that we have to also know because we're demonizing carbs so much to that degree, right? So yes, insulin spikes will happen because it is when your body is signaling that you have to now bring your blood sugar levels down and utilize these energy, what do you call this? The things that we gave it, the food that we gave it for energy. And that's how it brings it down. Now, when it comes to diabetics, we're not saying that you should be having insulin spikes, but it is something that is normal. And the goal is to make sure that these insulin spikes are not uncontrolled. They are something that we're able to manage, to understand, and also to bring down as well, right? So it's not about never having insulin spikes, but it's about being able to manage and understand the causes or the things that lead to this.
It's kind of funny because it just brings us all back into balance, right? You don't want to completely cut up carbs. You don't want that as your pure, the only thing that you eat. In order to survive, you got to have that balance because if you learn how to balance, then you're able to live a normal, happy life with balance.
So to go back to the trend that basically is saying the meal order, this isn't necessarily harmful. I mean, I think it is quite helpful for to prioritize your fiber and your protein in your meal. But I think it's kind of difficult if you're imagining yourself eating your veggies first and then your protein and then your carbs when in a classic Filipino meal, you're eating them all together and you're just like, am I supposed to like eat my kangkong first and then my fish and then my rice in a sinigang? Eating them together is already kind of a way to decrease the blood sugar spike in itself because your food mixes in your stomach, basically. So, you know, that churning whether you ate something first or not, there's a churning situation that happens in your stomach. So if,
that was the churning, guys.
Oh, yeah. That sounds right. So the takeaway from what she mentioned, maybe we can start with a few bites of veggies or a few bites of protein, and then we can slowly incorporate everything together if this is something that we feel can help us with our blood sugar levels, right? So yes, order of meals or basically just dressing your carbs can be very helpful. But again, we're not, insulin spikes are not the end all and be all of health, or like it's not the enemy of everything all the time, you know? Okay, I think...
what's funny is we prepared five topics for this, but we got so excited going so in depth into these three.
I honestly love the debunking and things, because to be honest, I never blame anybody who tries it, because I have been there. I have been in the state of my life.
That would make us hypocrites.
Yeah, I have been in that part of my life where anything I saw online that made me feel like there was hope. You know, if somebody told me, like, the reason you're gaining weight is because of your insulin spiking, I'd be like, okay, yes, I agree. I'm going to start getting rid of these insulin spikes and just start never having them, because all I wanted was a solution. All I wanted was to lose weight. All I wanted was to feel in control. And at that moment, I didn't have that. So this is why we love to do these debunkings, is because if you are somebody who is struggling with your relationship with food and your body, these are some of the things that we might need to be reminded of or need to hear, to make sure that we are not falling again into another cycle of dieting and restriction that leads us to that, right? So it's something that I love to talk about, but I'm not saying that you are bad for having ever tried it. It is very understandable, but it is important for us to know if it is going to be helpful or not.
True. You just gotta be more inquisitive sometimes with these type of things, because when you don't question it and you just dive head on, sometimes those things can be the most harmful to your health, even though you want to live a healthier life.
Yes. And with a lot of these trends, most of the time it comes from exaggeration. So going through these trends and what we can learn from them, number one, make sure you're consuming enough food and variety to keep your electrolytes in balance. Number two, you don't have to completely cut off sugar, but it is important to be mindful of our added sugar intake, just to know if it's taking over the different parts of our diet. And then number three, as much as possible, we can pair our carbs with your fiber and your protein just to help keep us more satiated, give us better energy levels, better blood sugar balance, and also better management of cravings throughout the day. So there are some very helpful bits and pieces in this. It's just they are often exaggerated, and that's why we need to talk about it. All right.
Nice. Cool. Hope you guys enjoyed that episode. See you guys later.
And that is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Please don't forget to follow us if you like this episode and if you want to learn and see and hear more. And also don't forget to follow us on Instagram at the Donut Box Pod. You can also follow me at Istro Sebastian on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, X, and Threads, or at healwithjoe.rnd on Instagram for more nutrition things. The Donut Box Podcast is an Anima podcast, and don't forget to follow them for the latest pods. Until the next episode, don't forget, you always deserve to eat.